From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. Happy Thanksgiving. We want to give you our warmest hopes for your day with your family. Hope you all stay safe and have a great holiday. Checking out, you know, the food battle that is to come. If you missed Matt and my discussion yesterday, check that out. Now, we do have a great show for you because David Harrison's here. We're going to talk about the Bucks. Cree and Chris are going to get into the minutia about how they go about doing it. But before we get to any of that, I just want to say it's been another great year. I know it's been a trying year. And this Thanksgiving, I hope that you can reflect on just how much it's been an effort, not only to get through the pandemic and the schooling and all that stuff, but to get a team on the field, and that you as the fan base and the Chiefs as the team have done an outstanding job of getting that done and staying in the mix. I'm really excited about this, and this is just the beginning. This is the takeoff point. So after this holiday, as we're all recovering from this meal, I think it's going to get even more intense as the Chiefs start to run towards that postseason run to try and get it back. A couple of notes that came out late Wednesday. Everybody practiced. That means Eric Fisher, including his wonky knee. Willie's back out there. Travis Nnadi, Colin Saunders practiced. So did Mike Remmers. That's a very good sign. And so did Sammy Watkins. As they get ready for the Bucks, they'll have another practice on Thursday, and that'll be important too. But to have Snead, Saunders, Fisher, Remmers out there along with Watkins, that's a full roster, and I'm pretty excited about that. I hope that you guys are too. Thank you for everything that you've been doing, and I hope you enjoy this talk about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
And welcome back to another crossover episode of Locked On Chiefs, and this week with David Harrison of Locked On Buccaneers. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Looking forward to, hopefully it's going to be a great game no matter who wins or loses.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be a good game. It's quite a different scenario this year with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Let's go ahead and start there. What have you really seen from him this year, and what were you expecting when he was brought to Tampa Bay?
I mean, I was expecting leadership. I think that's really the biggest thing that Tom Brady brings to the field. Obviously, you have, you know, the arm talent, or as much arm talent as there is, depending on who you talk to, and you have the track record. But, you know, past Super Bowls and MVP trophies don't win games in 2020. So that's really kind of the focus was needing to be on what he could bring to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what they could bring to him, and how they could work together to make a successful campaign. And then, of course, the loss of preseason, the mitigated or the shortened training camp obviously has an effect on all that stuff. But really, throughout it all, what you see in Tom is a steady leader for the locker room, on the field, on the team. And I mean, he's consistent in what he does. He's consistent in, you know, praising his teammates. And he's also inconsistent. Or he's also very consistent in taking blame when he feels like it's necessary, or sometimes when it's just kind of the right thing to do from a leadership standpoint. And that's pretty much what we've expected. As far as performance on the field goes, you know, I didn't come into it personally with a whole lot of loaded expectations. I mean, my season prediction for them, in the early part of the year was 11-5. Right now, obviously, they're on track, probably get more like 6 losses. But I mean, you're kind of seeing what you might have expected. I think I expected a little bit more, you know, maybe 1 or 2 more quality wins in this season than maybe we're going to get. But for the most part, I mean, you have a team that Tom. He looks like a veteran quarterback on a new team with a new scheme, as much as you expect him to.
Well, and you've brought in other pieces around him. Rob Gronkowski is also there now. Antonio Brown as well. What have you really seen from those two guys as they've been brought to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year?
Yeah, Rob, early on, I mean, you could tell the rust was there. You could tell some of the, you know, the lack of football playing for the last year before that. And then again, he and Tom are getting reacclimated together. And they're both in a new scheme, both with new coaches, both with new teammates. But then gradually, week by week, this last week, you didn't get used as much as you probably wanted to. They didn't connect as much as obviously they would want to. But before that, you see it kind of week to week. The old Gronk is kind of coming back. And what you want to see is that talent, that connection coming back, just without some of the injuries that he suffered in the past. And I think some of those other weapons like AB, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin being healthy can help the Buccaneers keep Gronk healthier for December football, hopefully January football. As far as Antonio Brown, I mean, so far from everything we're hearing and everything we've seen physically, he's a guy who's going out there working. You see a little bit of his swagger, you know, when he gets a first down catch or something, you see a little bit of that and that excitement to be back on the field. But as far as we're being told and what's coming out of One Buck, he's just being a good teammate, a good worker, and he's got his nose down, his head down. Hopefully, you know, he's going to make it through the remaining, you know, civil litigation that he's got so he can stick with the team. and hopefully be a contributor during the stretch.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be something big to watch over the next couple of weeks with the coming litigation that he has. You know, you look at the Buccaneers schedule so far, they have four losses, two of them to New Orleans. And really the last game against New Orleans where they lost 38-3, what did you really see in that game? And is it something that really worries you for the rest of the season?
Yeah, that game was dictated by a lack of energy, really, from the opening kickoff. They just lacked energy, and the New Orleans Saints came in there. And I kind of accustomed it to or compared it to it was a playoff atmosphere, you know. And I mean, since then, Bruce Arians has kind of come out, and some of the players have come out and said that week in, week out right now, it's kind of a playoff atmosphere. But the New Orleans Saints came into that game, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, that defense came in thinking this is a playoff game in the sense that we're going to come in here and show that we are still the top dog. Not only in the NFC, but in the NFC South specifically, where the Buccaneers came in and kind of said, okay, this is a primetime game and it's a division rival. And they just kind of looked like they were almost going through the motions a little bit. I think that's why you saw the change in the game plan as far as preparations are concerned. They had some night practices before they played against the Rams, and they changed some stuff on their Monday schedule and routine to hopefully have the players a little bit more refreshed. And I think on Monday night, you did see more energy from them, even though they did come out the loss. You saw a more energized unit. Some of the other problems that came up against the Rams, more kind of schematic, a little bit of execution, especially in tackling, and then some of the play calling obviously is coming into question, as it has pretty much all season.
Well, yeah, and then you're looking at one of the things that Brady has really struggled with this season is right now throwing down the field. He hasn't completed a long-distance pass in quite a while, and he's thrown several picks doing so. That's definitely going to be something that they're going to need to get to address coming up. But you look at the Buccaneers offense overall this year, so far they're 19th in the league in yards, 6th in scoring at just over 29 points a game. Offensively, they look like they're a pretty good team, and they are, you know, in most games, at least to the very end. Defensively, it looks like they have been playing very well as well. What can you tell me? What are a couple of players, or who are a couple of players that Chiefs fans should be looking for on defense?
On defense, I think you gotta keep an eye out on Antoine Winfield Jr., the rookie safety, second round draft pick out of Minnesota. He's been just kind of a little bit of everything. He's made splash plays in coverage. He's had tackles. He's had sacks. Again, he's just kind of that Swiss Army knife that, you know, a Todd Bowles defense really likes to accentuate. And that's kind of something that they've been able to do with him. And he's been able to come into this unit. He's the only new starter on this squad from the 2019 version. Every other starter is a starter from the previous season. And he's been able to come in and really from week one just kind of became a part of the unit, became a part of the scheme. And it really has just been a perfect fit for what Antoine Winfield Jr. brings to the field and what Todd Bowles wants out of one of his safeties back there.
Well, and then you look at the rest of the defense. You've got a couple of guys, Jason Pierre-Paul, that I saw have a couple of splash plays last night, and Lavonte David as well. That defense is definitely something to be watching for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lavonte David and JPP have been kind of the steady veterans for this team, even through some of their struggles and some of the games they've lost. And, you know, even going back to like that Monday night game or that Sunday night game against the Saints where they lacked a lot of energy, you still had guys like JPP and Lavonte David out there kind of doing their thing. And coming out of that game, I even actually said that those two and Ndamukong Suh were really the only three defensive players I saw in that game really kind of going out there and still doing their job to an acceptable level. Maybe not as high a level as you wanted them to, but still an acceptable level. And then this last game, you know, you look at those two guys, Lavonte and JPP, and definitely can't hang the loss on them. But at the end of the day, those aren't the kinds of guys they are, which is what makes them such great leaders. They don't care what they did individually. You know, JPP is not going to care that he got an interception and, you know, made this great tackle or made this great play. At the end of the day, the team came away with a loss. So he's going to be angry and upset about it until they get another win.
That's exactly the way your defense should be. They shouldn't care about their stats. And that's what you hope for most players. The last question I'll ask you about the Buccaneers before we switch over really quick. You know, you look at this offense, you look at what looks to be a superstar cast surrounding Tom Brady. Do you think that they're still putting it together? Do you think that they're still learning how to play together? Obviously, you just added another piece with Antonio Brown, which makes it more difficult. But, you know, offensively, do you think that they're still looking to try to find that right fit?
I mean, to a certain extent, they are. You know, and this is a conversation we had on our game reaction episode that dropped on Tuesday is – this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, you haven't seen this offense come out with the same squad more than two games in a row yet this season. You know, whether it's been a wide receiver missing or a new addition, OJ Howard going out, so then Cam Brate's got to step up, offensive lineman injured. I mean, even the 3 weeks that Ali Marpet has been out, the first week he was out, It was Joe Hague at left guard, Ryan Jensen at center. And then the last 2 weeks, we see Ryan Jensen move over to left guard, and we see A.Q. Shipley come in at center. And then last night, you had A.Q. Shipley go down. So now all of a sudden, you've got Aaron Stinney in there, and Jensen's back at their center. And I mean, you know, when you look at the offensive line, I mean, I know you guys know this, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners know this, but you know, that's an incredibly crucial part of this equation. When you look at the Buccaneers, they came into the season saying they're a 12 personnel based offense, which means two tight ends are on the field, and they're not both there just to run routes. They're both there to also help out with pass protection. So when a guy like O.J. Howard goes out, I know he's known for athleticism and catching, but he's also a very solid blocker. When he goes out, that's a part of your game plan, your part of your scheme as a team, your identity that is going out with him. Cameron Brate is not anywhere near the blocker that Rob Gronkowski is or that O.J. Howard is. So you lose O.J. Howard, you don't just lose playmaking ability, you also lose blocking ability in line as a tight end. Rob Gronkowski steps up, but if he's stepping up into that blocking role, now you lose Gronk and some of those receiving. It just all kind of bleeds together. It's not an excuse for why it's happening. Really, at the end of the day, I think the really big problem with this offense coming in week to week and looking solid is a little bit of a lack of creativity from the offensive play calling standpoint and how quickly they move to get away from the run game. You saw that against New Orleans, a record setting for modern NFL low in the run game. And then even in this game, I mean, Ronald Jones came out, you know, the number three running back entering week 11 in the National Football League, only got 10 carries against the Los Angeles Rams. I understand the Rams have a really good run defense, but they also have a better pass defense. When you have a really good pass defense that knows you're not running the ball because you've basically abandoned it into the second half, that's not going to make anything easier on your quarterback, no matter if it's Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, I don't care who it is. If the opposing side knows you're just passing the ball to be passing the ball, your quarterback's going to have a rough game.
Absolutely. No, and I completely agree with that. And I think that that's going to be something that really could hurt the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hoping this season ends up turning out. I do think that play calling and the way I saw their, you know, some of the play calling last night, watching that game really stood out to me as something that you would question. When we get back, David is going to flip it around. He's going to ask me some questions about this Chiefs team.
All right, Chris. So looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, the state of the Chiefs offensive line, what are some of the pitfalls for these defenses going against the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes? Because obviously, you know, the traditional mindset is you want to get pressure on a quarterback. You want to make them uncomfortable, get them off their spot. But we've seen Patrick Mahomes time and time again, even sometimes when he is uncomfortable, he still makes the plays. So is the smarter move to kind of stay back and hope you can anticipate what he does, or is a better move just kind of send the house? And then what are the updates, the latest updates we can get anyway on the offensive line there for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, right now, Mitchell Schwartz is on IR, so he's not going to be playing. Martinez Rankin is coming back from being on the PUP list. I think he might play this week, but it's a question as to whether or not he's actually going to make the active roster. Right now, we don't know if Eric Fisher is going to play, and that could be a huge loss for Kansas City, losing their left tackle. They're already down their right tackle. They're down their starting right guard. You know, and there's other questions at other positions as well. And they're down their starting left guard, for that matter. You know, Kelechi Osemele is down as well. So, you know, really, they've been dealing with injuries this entire season. I think, you know, you look at Patrick Mahomes, and I think the biggest thing that you take away from the way he plays the game is sending the house isn't really going to help much. I think the thing that he has done a lot better over the past couple of seasons is he's gotten to the point where he knows where the blitz is coming from normally before the ball snapped. And if he knows where the blitz is coming from, he knows what read he's going to go to. And unless you're fantastic at disguising your blitzes and sending stuff at something at him that he's not used to, you're probably not going to get home. And he has a very high passer rating against the blitz. So generally speaking, you're going to be better off if you can rush for and get pressure. But that's a big key. And not a lot of teams can do that.
Yeah. And then according to DVOA ratings from Football Outsiders, the Kansas City Chiefs pass defense faring better than the run defense. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Ronald Jones, who now sits as the fifth leading rusher in the National Football League after getting scarcely used against the Los Angeles Rams. But then also you have, again, Tom Brady, you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, all coming out of that Rams game healthy. So you expect them obviously to be healthy coming into this matchup. You just talked about the addition of a new cornerback, probably not going to be available. So when you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the Chiefs defense very well, and you kind of know the trends that are going on there, especially with guys like Thornhill. And then you've seen what you've seen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, even with the lack of ability to throw the ball deep since really the end of that Las Vegas Raiders game. Do you expect more Ronald Jones or more passing game? Do you expect this to be more of a balanced attack from the Buccaneers? And really, if you could, you know, not that you necessarily would, but if you had an audience with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, how would you tell them to use the Buccaneers' weapons to attack the Chiefs defense?
You know, honestly, I think that's a fantastic question, but I will say it's going to depend on the game and the tempo and the way things shake out. The main reason I say that is if you get down, you know, two scores to Patrick Mahomes, anything that you plan doing going into that game is probably going to go out the window because you're going to be chasing points the rest of the game. Or at least you're going to feel that way. So as long as they're able to keep it close, then I think that, you know, the thing that they should be looking at doing is, you know, sprinkling in the run, using play action passes, get Ronald Jones going. I think that that's something that they can definitely do against this team. Kansas City does struggle against the run, but if you get it to where they're more of a one-dimensional type of offense that you're facing, obviously that's going to help the defense. With all the weapons that Tampa Bay has and all the pass-catching weapons that they have, you know, I would imagine Kansas City is going to expect them to throw the ball more than they run it. So play-action passes, I think, would really benefit them. And, you know, you look at the run defense for Kansas City, it's not very stout. Their defensive line has been getting pushed off the ball, and they haven't been creating pressure when they've been, you know, trying to get after the quarterback. And that is a recipe for disaster against the Tom Brady team. If you can't get in front of him and you can't get in his face, you are going to get picked apart.
So the Chiefs are trying to defend the Super Bowl title, right? And we know that in history of Super Bowl champions, that's a hard thing to do, but the Chiefs look like they're in pretty solid control of making another postseason run. And, you know, if they're in the tournament in January, they have a chance, obviously, to take the whole thing. Let's fast forward and let's pretend the Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl playing in Tampa. Which NFC team scares you the most? Which one do you want to see them play the least out of what looks like the NFC playoff contenders?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to say. I think that each team has its own issues and things that it brings for strengths. I like Tom Brady. I know a lot of Chiefs fans hate Tom Brady. I like Tom Brady. I think he's a good QB. I think he's struggling right now in certain aspects, and I think that makes them a little bit less dangerous than you would expect them to be with all the weapons that they have on offense. So I can't say Tampa. You know, when I look at the field when it comes to the NFC, honestly, the team that probably would scare me the most, even though they don't seem to have a lot of offensive weapons, is probably Green Bay. And it's just because Aaron Rodgers is so good. And you look at Devontae Adams, he's probably easily a top five wide receiver, maybe top three. You could easily make that argument. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, with the way he's playing so far this year, with Kansas City's defense the way they're playing right now, I think that would be the scariest matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you made a case for any of those teams, and Aaron Rodgers, definitely not a guy you can count out, and then Devontae Adams and everything that he can do as well. So finally, Chris, my listeners would not be very happy with me if I did not solicit a score and winner prediction for you before we get out of here.
You know, honestly, I think that this is going to be a high scoring game. I think I'm going to take Kansas City. I'm going to say 38-31 Kansas City when everything's said and done. What about you? What do you think? Who do you think is going to win, and what do you think the score is going to be?
Yeah, I'm thinking 35-31 Kansas City. I think that they're very evenly matched rosters, like on paper, side by side. If you look at them, I think the Buccaneers defense obviously is a little bit better in certain areas. And I think overall it's a better defense, but you can't discount what Patrick Mahomes does. And I mean, like you said, he's a guy that if you blitz him like the Buccaneers are known to do and Buccaneers fans are going to want to see, he's liable to just tear you apart, you know, using your own sword against you. But then if you lean back and sit back, the Buccaneers have already shown time and time again this season, when they don't play aggressively, they get picked apart again. I mean, Jared Goff having, you know, if that's the only game you've ever seen Jared Goff play, you would assume he's an all pro quarterback.
It's funny because I could not stand his 2-minute offense.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, I mean, to me, it's going to take a lot for me to ever just admit that Jared Goff had a good game. And maybe I'm biased. You know what I mean? If somebody were to call me biased against Jared Goff, I would probably accept that label. So nothing that Jared Goff does really looks all that impressive to me every time. You know, again, I still actually haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I want to see the yards after catch stats from that game, because I don't know if Jared Goff even threw the ball 50 air yards for a completion, to be honest with you. So
I don't think he did, but I'm specifically talking about the 2-minute drill right before the halftime. He kept dinking and dunking down the field, and if it wasn't for a spectacular play by his wide receiver, they don't even get in field goal range.
No, absolutely not. They would have. Yeah,
I just was sitting there, was like, how do you take timeouts? How do you throw the ball in the middle of the field and only get 3 or 4 yards? It just And you compare that to Patrick Mahomes, and it's just a completely different ball game and a completely different mindset. So
absolutely, yeah. I mean, one of them's a killer, and one of them is, I don't know. Accidentally runs over people sometimes, I guess. I don't know how to make that comparison.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, obviously there's not going to be any play calling. There's not going to be any game plans, revealed before now and kickoff. So I have no way of predicting if Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians are going to come out with a more creative way of utilizing all the weapons that they have and their offensive talent. And until we start to see it, it's hard to kind of expect it. So I kind of have to go with what we've seen. And I mean, the tape doesn't lie and all of that is what they represent themselves to be. And if they come out playing the Kansas City Chiefs, the way they've played the Rams, the Saints, even the Panthers, I mean, they won, but even the game plan there was pretty vanilla. I think the Chiefs take advantage of that and Andy Reid comes out with a victory. And so 35-31 Chiefs is going to be my prediction until I'm proven wrong.
Well, David, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. And we will be back tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.